The question we're thinking about today is, are you ready? Are you ready for the victorious King Jesus to return? Because of all people, it should be us, shouldn't it? It should be us, God's people, God's church, who can say, yes, we are ready. We're looking forward, we're longing for the day our Lord Jesus will come. It's taken us 12 weeks, but we've made it all the way through Revelation. Here at the end, John's reflecting on everything he's seen. He's imprisoned on the island of Patmos. God's shown him incredible pictures of Jesus in his victory. And as John reflects on what he's seen, he realizes the worst mistake we could make after all this would be not being ready for Jesus, not being ready for his victory. So, are you ready? That's the question God's asking us in this last chapter of Revelation, in this last chapter of the Bible. John says in Revelation, Jesus is coming soon, which means we need to be ready now. Jesus is coming soon and we need to get ready right now. In these final words of Revelation, John encourages us to reflect on what we've read and what we've seen. He wants us to respond appropriately to this revelation about Jesus. John wants us to be very clear. We need to be ready. Because this final victory of Jesus that we've read about, it's coming soon. Do you remember how Revelation started? Right back in the very first verses of the first chapter, John said, this revelation is to show us what must soon take place. That's what he said in chapter 1, verse 1. In verse 3, he said, the time is near. Jesus is coming back. Here in chapter 22, at the other end of the book, John says the exact same thing again. In verse 6, have a look at verse 6 of Revelation 22. The angel says to John, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. The what must soon take place is the final victory of Christ. It's all we've seen so far. God's final judgment on sin, the destruction of Satan, the judgment of evil, the salvation of the saints, the return of Jesus with the new creation. This is going to happen soon. Three times in this chapter, Jesus himself says the words, I am coming soon. John could have just noted that down for us once, but he records all three times because he wants us to be ready. Our victorious King is returning soon, and this should set the agenda for how we live now. This should shape the way we live as we look forward to Jesus arriving. Have a look at verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this book. Are you thinking and living as though Jesus could return at any moment? Because, you know, even John tripped up right after Jesus had said he was coming soon. Have a look at what John did in verse 8. He says, I, John, am the one who's heard and saw these things. And when I'd heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who'd been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. After all these visions of the victorious King Jesus, John was about to worship the angel. For a moment there, John wasn't ready. All these things he'd seen hadn't sunk in. The angel put a stop to that real quick. He says, worship God. Worship God because this is really happening. Jesus is really real. He really is king. His victory is really real and he really is coming soon. Are you prepared? Are you ready? How should we be thinking and how should we be living if we really believe Jesus is about to return? If we really want to be ready? Well, John keeps going. He says we need to be holy. We need to live holy lives. Have a look at verse 10. Verse 10, it says, then he told me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. What he's saying is, If you're on the side of the victorious King Jesus, live like you're on his side. If you've been made holy, continue to be holy. Imagine for a moment you're sick in bed. You've got a bad flu or something. You take some days off work. You rest a lot. You drink a lot of cups of tea. Then you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you some amazing drugs and you are well again in no time. What do you do then? Do you stay in bed? Do you groan and moan and not go near your loved ones in case they catch it? Of course you don't. You're well. You're healthy. You get up and you live like you're healthy. Jesus has made us holy, so we continue to be holy. We live lives in obedience to Jesus, our King. We persevere in faithful obedience. When we're hanging out with the boys and their jokes start getting obscene, we make doubly sure we're honouring God with our words. When you're spending time with the girls and their gossip starts getting vicious, we don't join in. We honour God, not just in our words, but with our whole lives, because we've been made holy. We persevere in obedience, because Jesus the judge, God in the flesh, is coming soon. Have a look at verse 12. Jesus says again, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what they've done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus, the just judge, is coming in judgment. It's a terrifying thought to think that we'll be judged according to what we've done. And that's why the next verse, verse 14, is so great. Have a look at verse 14. It says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." We've read about having our robes washed a few times now in Revelation. John is talking about being washed by the blood of the Lamb. He's talking about being washed clean, having our sin washed away by the blood of Jesus, by Jesus' death, by his blood being spilt. We have forgiveness. And with our sin washed away, we have access to the tree of life. We have access to new life in God's new creation. The new creation we read about last week. We've been made holy by Jesus. Dave said earlier in this series, washing in blood is a strange way to get clean. But it's a great picture of what it means to trust in Jesus. Trust Jesus' death for you. Keep on trusting Jesus' death for you. Don't ever be distracted from it. Don't ever stop being amazed by it. Come back to what Jesus did at the cross every day. There's no other way to be made holy. You've been made holy, so continue to be holy. Don't be like those people who are left on the outside who do those things listed in verse 15. Cement your place on the winning side by coming back to the gospel again and again. And as you come back to the gospel again and again, invite others to come with you. Because God's inviting you. God's saying to you, come. Come to Jesus. But God also wants you to join him in his mission. He wants the bride to join with the Spirit. Remember, the bride is God's redeemed. It's his church. God wants us to join with him in inviting the world and inviting Bathurst to come to Jesus, to come and drink the water of life. Have a look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." This is God's free gift of grace. It's a free gift for the whole world. God's grace is an open invitation. It's for anyone. It's for everyone. And this is a command for us to invite people to experience this free gift for themselves. because our world is full of so many people who drink the lies of Satan. The lie that says you don't need God to know right from wrong. The lie that says you don't need God to have the good life. The lie that says there's better alternatives to Jesus out there. Those lies, that water, never satisfies in the end. God wants us to come to join him in his mission of sending out the invitation to whoever is thirsty, whoever wishes to come and take the free gift of the water of life. Now that's both a very hard but also a very easy thing to do. It's very hard because as we've read through Revelation, we've read about Christians who've been persecuted for following Jesus. Some who've even lost their lives because they spoke up for Jesus in the oppressive Roman Empire. And if you speak up for Jesus, there's every chance you'll suffer too. But it's also easy. It's easy because it's just plain, simple words. Words that you know because you believe them yourself. Come to Jesus, who died for you. So here's a plan, here's a suggestion. Think about someone that you can invite to come and meet Jesus. Write their name down. Maybe write their name down right now on your outline. Next time you're in small group, next time you're catching up with a friend to read the Bible, share that name. And together, pray for that person. And after you've prayed for them, invite them to see God's grace. Talk to them about Jesus your King. Tell them about his blood that washes away their sin. Invite them to read the Bible with you so they can read about it for themselves. Invite them to church so they can hear it here too. It's that easy. You don't have to save anyone yourself. You just have to invite them to come and listen to the free gift of God's grace. As you invite them to come and listen, make sure you're listening too. Because it's one thing to have heard, but it's another to keep on listening. We keep on listening carefully to God's word so that we don't accidentally or otherwise add anything or take anything away from God's message of salvation. Have a look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. That's a stern warning. It's a serious warning because God doesn't want anyone twisting or distorting his wonderful message of the victory of Jesus. Jesus' victory is complete. You can't take anything away from it. Jesus' victory is perfect. You can't add anything to it. The plagues in verse 18, those are the plagues that we read about when we read chapter 16 a few weeks ago. The seven bowls of God's wrath. Those plagues resulted in the complete destruction of Satan, the complete destruction of the counterfeit Christ and the counterfeit spirit, the complete destruction of all who proclaim a false gospel. There's an easy way to avoid those plagues. Keep listening carefully to the message of Jesus. We've been told in Revelation that Jesus marries the church. I often find it hard to listen to the person I'm married to. It's not that Claire's hard to listen to, it's just that I kind of assume I only need to listen once. I listened last week, surely I know everything and I don't need to listen again this week. Now if you're married, in fact, even if you're not married, I suspect you know very well that's not how marriage works. You need to keep listening. And we need to keep listening to Jesus. We need to keep opening up his word. Because the Bible's not a book of facts you can put down once you've memorized them. This is about Christ and his bride. This is God's loving, God's ongoing communication with the people he's chosen to be his own. The consequences of not listening to God carefully are rightly terrifying. So make sure you fill up your life with every excuse to read God's word. Church, small group, meeting up with a friend once a week, with your family, your housemates at the dinner table, your kids before bed, first thing in the morning, on your iPod as you drive home in the afternoon, wherever it is, be someone who listens to God's words, which are soaked in grace from start to finish. Grace is how Revelation ends. It ends with a prayer for grace. And it reminds us that we need to be people who pray. If we're ready for Jesus to come soon, we pray that he will. We long for Jesus to return. We long for his final victory. We long for his final victory because persevering is hard. It's hard to persevere through the pain of this world. It's hard to persevere through suffering for the sake of Jesus. It's hard to persevere in the fight against sin. It's hard to persevere while Satan wages war against the saints. It's hard to persevere while evil and death still flourish. So we pray, come Lord Jesus. Have a look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. We pray that Jesus would return, that he'd return in victory and put an end to our suffering, to all suffering. We pray because we suffer, but we also pray because we know that the new creation that will come with Jesus when he comes, is better than this one by far. The victory of Jesus is a message of grace. Grace because Jesus' victory is a victory we don't deserve to be part of. And yet we are part of it. This victory is for us, and we're victorious with Jesus. This grace comes through Jesus. It comes from Jesus. This grace is Jesus. And he's coming soon. Are you ready? Have you been made holy by his blood? Are you listening carefully to his words? Are you inviting people to come and listen with you? Are you longing for that day, praying for it, waiting for it, persevering for it? It's worth sticking with Jesus because his grace is victorious. Night church, Jesus wins, so persevere. Let's pray. God our Father, thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. Thank you that he is both the Lamb who was slain and also the victorious King. Father, whenever we suffer, may that suffering make us long for the day Jesus will come back. Until then, Lord, please help us persevere. Come, Lord Jesus, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.